हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now chapter 23, Dhritarashtra's anxiety. In Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra is becoming increasingly sorrowful. Needing solace, he called for Vidura and said, Dear brother, your intelligence is no less than that of the great Bhargava. You are acquainted with all the subtleties of Dharma. You regard all the Kurus equally. Tell me, therefore, what is good for me and for them. Now that things have taken this course, what should we do? Because before it was, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, and if the dynasty is supposed to be finished, it's finished. We can't go against destiny and all these different things. And now that things are going, the destiny is unplaying it, because you know the way. And now he's asking, what can we do? But before he didn't say, what should we do or not do? He said, no, we'll do what we want. If it works, then that means destiny wanted it, and then everything will be fine. But then when you do what they want, and it doesn't go quite the way they want, I mean, they got the kingdom and they got all the wealth, but now all this auspiciousness and this and that, then he's asking, okay, now what can we do? So you see, this is the materialistic mentality, is that we think when it comes for our own things, when it's going the way we want, then we're doing it, it's all happening. When it goes the way we don't, oh, what can we do? It's destiny and this and that and so many things. And so there's always this range in consciousness where there's not an understanding of one's responsibility as a human being. That human being, that you do an activity, you get the results. And so then that has to be appreciated. So since you have to work so hard to, you know, and get your results and try to improve in your quality of your position, why not do that for a transcendental position? As we see, it's like the Pandavas. They've lost the kingdom and all that, but they're still all together, very strong, their faith in Krishna and faith in the Lord. All their things are working out. They're traveling with hundreds of Brahmins, even thousands of Brahmins, just discussing about transcendental subject matter. No anxiety about the day-to-day running of the kingdom, you know, all that, and they're just living nicely as like Brahmins. And so it's working out for them. And Dhritarashtra is sitting in the kingdom. He has everything now. All the wealth, all the position and all that. He's in anxiety. What should we do? How can we again secure the citizens' faith and love? And especially, how can we avoid total annihilation of our race? Vidura replied, O king, religion as well as economic development and sense pleasure depend upon virtue. Right? It means that you're going to religion, economic development, sense pleasure, unless you have virtue, you have good qualities, then the quality of how it unfolds will not be so great. You have the better the qualities, the better these things develop. The lesser the qualities, the less they develop. It's like with anything. You have good quality, let's say ingredients for cooking lunch, it'll come out nicer than if you use bad ingredients. Or if you have good qualification in cooking, your results will come out better than if you don't know how to cook. Same with driving or anything. Whatever you do, you use good ingredients. So the good ingredients of Dharma, Artha, and Kama is virtue. A kingdom's success also rests upon virtue. Therefore, you should cherish and love both your own sons and those of Pandu. You destroyed virtue when you allowed your sons, headed by Shakuni, to play dice with Yudhishthira. The only way you can now atone for this evil and win praise in this world is to return the Pandavas their kingdom. Be satisfied with what is rightfully yours and do not covet others' possessions. Right? So he has to develop good qualities. Only difficulty is that Duryodhana, he doesn't care about virtue, he just cares about results. Dhritarashtra shifted uncomfortably in his seat. This was not the advice he wanted to hear. right? You know, he wants to hear, okay, now that we've done all this nonsense and the destruction of the dynasty is upon us, now what little, you know, what kind of trick or what kind of loophole can we, you know, activity can we do that we get around all this nonsense and everything will work out perfectly and, you know, the sunset will be there and the birds will be chirping and the rainbows will be there and the butterflies will be fluttering, you know, and everything will be perfect as we dance around in the fields. Like that. But so he doesn't want to hear that, no, you've done nonsense and the way to correct it is now do things properly. Right? You're doing something wrong and it's not working out. Do it properly. No, no, I want to keep doing it wrong and I want to get the right result. No, you have to do the right activity to get the right result. No, no, I want to do the wrong activity and get the right result. He was more interested in knowing how the Kauravas could secure their present position. Right? He presents all that because he knows that's the truth. But because of attachment, then it's political. He has another motive. But he knows what to say because he knows that is right. But it's not that he necessarily wants what's right. He wants what he wants. Destiny had conferred upon them sovereignty of the entire earth. Now they needed to strengthen their position in order to rule it successfully. Well, he wants that, then, you know, talk to someone else who is just into these kind of things. What help would it be to concede the kingdom to the most powerful enemies? They've made them into enemies. They're not enemies, they're family. Dhritarashtra felt his anger rise as Vidura continued. Right? Anger after frustration. You do something wrong, you're frustrated. Someone tells you to do right, you don't want to do right, you become angry. O descendant of Bharata, I once told you to abandon Duryodhana. Had you listened to me, then you would not be repenting now. You can still do it. Cast aside Duryodhana and bring Yudhishthira back as the monarch. Let your sons and their followers wait upon the Pandavas. Have Dushasana apologize to Draupadi in the open court. And he should also beg Bhima's pardon, right? Because he said so many things. This will be good for all of us, and it will also save the kingdom from destruction. What else can I advise you at such a time? Dhritarashtra's anger boiled over. It seemed that Vidura always sided with the Pandavas, right? Telling him what's the right thing to do, then he always takes that you're siding with the Pandavas. Because their point is who gets the money, who gets the authority and power? And whoever has that, then that's what's good. So you're saying it should be the Pandavas. So you're not siding with us. We want it. Why are you not showing us how we can get it? Right? Rather than, no, it means you have to get it in the proper way, and you're not getting it in the proper way. But they just say, no, we've gotten it. So therefore, you should support us. Placing his hand on his jeweled scepter, he said, Vidura, you speak only to please the Pandavas and do not care to please me. You can't please Dhritarashtra, so why even bother? I do not approve of your words. How do you expect me to abandon my own flesh and blood for another's sake? Right? It's supposed to be for the kingdom's sake, it's what you're supposed to do. Because Manu mentions that if the son is wrong, he must be chastised. And if someone else who's not your son is right, they must be supported. You know, as we heard this story before that Vidura told about Prahlad Maharaj and his son, and then his one of the sages and his son. So the two sons, the Kshatriya's son and the Brahmin's son, were arguing over the sake of who would get to marry the girl. And then they're asking, oh, who's superior? And then the point is whoever's superior would naturally, in this arrangement, marry the girl, because the girl should get the best result, you know, the best arrangement. And so then, and naturally, then you know, you would want to be, the king would want to say his son. But he understands that if you know what's right and you don't do it, then you have a big problem. So he went and he told his son that, you know, the son of the Brahmin is superior to you, just as that Brahmin's son, father is superior to me. I am your father, you know, that boy, that Brahmin boy has a father. His father is superior to me. So in the same way, the son of the Brahmin is superior to you as a Kshatriya. So that's how Kshatriyas work. So that's the point. He's not acting properly as a Kshatriya, though he knows the knowledge, he knows the skills. But because his attitude is wrong, it's all spoiled. Sometimes there's this idea nowadays that if you have the knowledge and skill, then anybody should be able to do anything. But the point is yes, it takes some kind of ability to be able to have the knowledge and skill. But if you don't have the attitude, then it's not complete. And so therefore, then no one will get actually the right results. Although the Pandava is as good as my sons, Duryodhana was sprung from my body. You asked me to leave my own body aside in order to favor another's. Right. But it's actually, no, he's telling him how to favor the king. He asked him how to stop the destruction of the dynasty. And he's just saying, oh, you're just favoring them. Although I hold you in great esteem, today I find your words crooked. I therefore reject them. You may stay here or go away as you please. I no longer require your advice. However, well, an unchaste wife is treated, she always forsakes her husband. Right? So now you see his mentality, because they're talking privately. There's no Duryodhana there. So you see, underlying, this is Dhritarashtra's mentality. Though, at other times, you see, he presents that that's a son mentality, but because of that association, he's taken that on. Because otherwise, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Dhritarashtra rose suddenly and stalked off into his inner chambers. Vidura shook his head sadly and said, this race is doomed. He decided to follow the Pandavas into the forest to make preparations for his departure. Because he said, you can stay or go as you want. When he says, I no longer require your advice, it doesn't mean just right now I don't want to talk to you. It just means you don't need to serve as the advice of the king. You can stay if you like, you know, it's your place because he's his younger brother. Or you can leave, it doesn't matter to him. Leaving aside their chariots and carrying only their weapons, the Pandavas had begun to travel in a westerly direction, going from forest to forest. They passed through Kurukshetra and crossed over the rivers Jamuna, Drishtavati, and Saraswati. Finally, on the banks of the Saraswati, they saw the great Kamika forest. Many ascetics lined the riverbank, performing sacrifice and austerities. Right, so at this time, the Saraswati was still flowing. But like as now, it's all underground. It's disappeared. But at that time, it was still flowing. And so then, Kamika along the Saraswati, that will be always the greatest number of Brahmins and that the greatest number of hermitage. Other auspicious rivers will always have, but you see that a very great number will be there on the Saraswati. The Pandavas entered the Kamika and built thatched huts in which to live. In the company of the Brahmins, they began to devote their time to sacrifice and scriptural study. One evening, as they sat by the sacred fire, listening to Brahmins recite Vedic histories, the brothers heard a chariot approaching. They looked up and saw Vidura coming towards them. Surprised, Yudhishthira said to Bhima, why is Vidura here? Has he been sent to fetch us for yet another game of dice? Does the mean-minded Shakuni wish to take from us even our weapons? The Pandavas rose from the fire and greeted Vidura with all respects. They seated him in their midst, and after inquiring about his welfare, Yudhishthira offered him refreshments and a place to rest. The following day, Vidura related to the brothers what had transpired in Hastinapur. Oh, Ajatashatru, I told the king what was beneficial for him, but he did not care to listen. As the unchaste wife of a noble man can never be brought back to virtue, so the king will not take to the right path. See, the same example is used in the opposite way. Because Vidura, being Yamaraj, he knows Dharma. And Dhritarashtra, just being a living entity, without that kind of empowerment, though he's been trained in all that, he lacks virtue, and so he's overwhelmed by his senses and can't follow the virtue. But Vidura, then he doesn't have any problem. He will never meet with good fortune. As water falling upon a lotus leaf rolls off, so my counsel has no effect on him. He has sent me away with harsh words. The Pandavas consoled Vidura, and he said, I shall now tell you what, in my opinion, will be conducive to your ultimate success. You should bide your time patiently and find ways to increase your strength. Perform asceticism and worship the Supreme Lord. This will help you gain power. Always speak the truth and be kind to your dependents and followers. Share your food with them and never boast in their presence. This conduct increases the prosperity of kings. So to boast in front of others is never a good thing. Yudhishthira thanked Vidura for his advice, which he said he would follow. Right? Because, as he said, the kingdom depends on virtue. So the Pandavas, now they're in the forest, there's nothing else to do. And since they're living in holy places or with the Brahmins, what a perfect time to just increase their virtue. And so now he's saying that for this time that you're in the forest, increase that. And by that, then that will give you the power by which then you'll be able to rule the kingdom properly. As Dhritarashtra with less virtue is unable to do properly. Right, so it's not about power to take over or to defeat Duryodhana. It's about the power to actually be able to rule the kingdom properly. Then another chariot was heard approaching. This time it was Sanjaya coming towards them. Dhritarashtra's charioteer bowed before Yudhishthira and was graciously received with kind words of welcome. When he was comfortably seated, he explained to Yudhishthira why he had come. Having dispatched Vidura with cruel words, the king is consumed by repentance and sorrow. See, that's all that happens, because he knows what's right, but he can't follow it because he doesn't have enough good qualities. You know, it's just like, let's say someone is addicted to smoking. They know it's wrong, but they can't stop. You know, so that's the problem, is that he knows what's correct. He's been properly trained, but unfortunately he can't fall. So now he's done all this nonsense. He knows it's wrong. Then he wants some advice. Then the advice isn't like telling him, oh no, everything you did is fabulous. Then he gets upset, so he sends away Vidura. Harsh words again, and his brother and all that. And so now he feels bad again. This morning he entered the assembly hall and fell senseless to the floor. When he regained consciousness, he said to the assembled kings, "My brother Vidura is like the god of justice, Yamaraj. Remembering him, my heart burns with anguish and grief." Sanjaya continued, "The king told me to fetch Vidura back to Hastinapur. He said, 'Go quickly, Sanjaya, and see whether my brother, whom I angrily sent away with harsh words, lives or not. He has never done me the slightest wrong. Rather, he has suffered at my hands. Bring him here soon before I give up my life.'" Sanjaya turned to Vidura, "Please return to the city and receive the king. This is his order." Or revive the king, excuse me. Even though Dhritarashtra seemed quite unable to heed his good advice, Vidura decided to return. He felt duty-bound, and he knew that Dhritarashtra was intelligent, despite his foolish behavior. Vidura thought that if he was near the king and able to offer counsel, then at least there would be a chance he would come to his senses. There's a chance, so maybe it won't get so bad, because if it's just Duryodhana and them, what they'll do, you'd never know. They're totally materialistic. But at least if Vidura is there, things won't proceed as forward as mundanely as they would like. After taking Yudhishthira's permission, Vidura returned to Hastinapur and went to see Dhritarashtra, who was overjoyed to see him. The king said, "O virtuous and sinless one, by good fortune I have got you back. I could not sleep last night, thinking I was lost." Vidura replied that he had forgiven Dhritarashtra his insult. "You are my guru and worthy of my highest respect," because he's the elder brother. "I came here swiftly when Sanjaya told me of your desire. O king, it is only natural that any virtuous man feels inclined towards helping the distressed. Both your sons and those of Pandu are equally dear to me, but because the Pandavas are now in distress, I feel compassion more for them." With apologetic words, the two brothers continued speaking together for some while, happy to be reunited. So that's the end of this section. So we start a new section. So shall we?
Maybe we should end it. It's the end of the section.
Yes. Just... I mean, because it's so close.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada.